We're going to try to do that. Let's have a word of prayer. I forgot to pray before we got started here. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that you've given us to look into your word. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to come together as a body. Lord, we pray tonight as we look into your word, for the word to have free course into our hearts, that it might strengthen us and edify us, and that we may leave here with a better understanding of your word and your will. We pray for those who may be on the way, for those who may have wanted to be here, and for those who have no concern at all. We thank you once again for the word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to start off with the signs. Mike asked the question is, why didn't the Jews believe when they did have all those signs? And we were actually, it was moving up from Abraham to, we were trying to get to Acts, the New Testament. But that's a good question, because they did have signs. As a matter of fact, the nation itself started off in signs. And a sign we call them today miracles. It'd be a miracle. But just to start off, look at Genesis. I said Genesis. I meant Exodus.
That's the next.
Right, that's the next one. Exodus chapter 7.
Exodus and Genesis both had a lot to say, didn't they?
Yes, Exodus 7. Now, this is, we skip a lot of ground, but the Lord is getting ready to send Moses to Pharaoh. You know, the children of Israel had been enslaved for 40 years, and he's getting ready to send Moses to deliver them. And Exodus 7, verse 1. You know what? Let's start at 6 and verse 26. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, "Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt with great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." So we see when he starts off, the children of Israel, they're in bondage. And the children of Israel are who?
The Jews.
They're Jews. They're God's people. Those are his people. So he's getting ready to deal. He's bringing them out so he can deal with them. Right. And he's
they're slaves right now.
They haven't. As a matter of fact, when God says, I'm going to send you to them, Moses said, who shall I say? Because they will say that the Lord had not sent you. Because they've seen many gods. They've been exposed to idolatry in Egypt. They've seen at least 10. That's who they passed judgment. That's who God passed judgment on, 10 gods. So when they go in, they says, who should I say sent me? And they said, the Lord have sent me. I am have sent me. So when they go in, they're looking for what? some proof.
The Egyptians.
The Jews.
Oh, yeah, he goes to the Jews first.
So remember that, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:22 that the Jews, what? Require a sign. That means, you know what? We have to have it, right? So he's going, that's Paul, he's not just saying that over here without some background. And here's the background. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt take unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Here's a synonym. A sign is the same thing as what?
A miracle.
Yeah, that's what, well, that's not what I'm saying, right? That's what it said right here. So he says, show a miracle. Okay, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So we see that he had a opposing sign. So they're kind of like a stalemate right here, right?
Except his rod, they swallowed theirs.
They're not a stalemate, but he's trying to counter it. Right. He's refusing to believe, right? Right. Now, here's what, just to cut to the chase here. Look down at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Look at verse 16. And the Lord shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou what?
Would not hear.
Here's what's really important about the signs, Mike, is the fact that when God shows a miracle, that's the same thing as him giving you his word. Because, well, let me show you a verse that would kind of help you out here.
Well, I mean, in a way, he's proving it with the miracle, right?
His word accompanies what he goes before. He says, do this. Tell him to let my people go. And then he says, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And he show him the miracle. The miracle is a sign for unbelievers. The sign is for unbelievers. And in this case, even Pharaoh, but primarily for the Egyptians. So let's try to move down the line here. Try to do this. I don't want to read the whole chapter.
But I got to make a short comment. And I know it's moving away.
No,
again, yeah. But when you say that a sign is for unbelievers, which it is, that really points out about the Jews and Michael's question about them. Because he's saying, how could they see that and not believe. Yeah, not believe is because they were unbelievers. He's giving them signs, but kind of like Pharaoh here.
Right.
Wasn't enough.
And hopefully we can get over there and
Pharaoh,
see.
To me, looked like he didn't believe it because God's hardened his heart.
Well,
he hadn't hardened other Jewish people's heart, had he?
This is a point that I was trying to bring out is the sign and the miracle is just like his word. So when you reject the sign, you're really rejecting what?
His word.
And the more you reject God's word, your heart, you get a hard heart. Where else can you go? So when he says, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then when he rejects it, that's what hardens his heart, is he starts to reject the word of God, which is in the form of a sign and a miracle here. But the more he does it, the harder his heart gets. And you'll see in the passage where it will say, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. But all he did was kept giving him a chance. He kept sending them back. He says, send them back. And he go back and he says, let them go. 10 times he showed a sign to Pharaoh. Didn't he?
Yeah.
If we're not going to go through 10 plagues. He showed Pharaoh that he should let those people go. And 10 times he did what?
Defied it.
He defied it. We saw the Ten Commandments on TV, didn't we? We saw it, right?
You know I saw it.
We're educated.
You know I saw it.
Okay, but there's something else that hits me about this that's really interesting, is that he said no 10 times. He defied it 10 times because all 10 times the cost for saying yes was to lose the slaves.
Right.
He wasn't willing to pay the price, and that's why he didn't do it. And that's the same thing with the Lord, because he criticized the leaders, and for them to believe it, they would have to step down and lose their place.
Lose it. And Ron, that's what Ron, didn't you say that? As far as,
That's about today's preachers.
They don't want to.
I mean, they don't want to.
Same thing.
It's a position. You have a lot.
I recognize the truth, because what I do recognize is that if I recognize it, I'm going to lose what I got.
Exactly. You know what? When Jesus was on earth, we'll get back here in a minute. When Jesus was on earth and he began to do those miracles and signs, they talked to him and they said, we cannot deny what he's doing, but they wouldn't agree with it because in front of the people, they would look small.
They would lose their position.
And even while they crucified him, they crucified him. And John said they crucified him. Pilate said he knew that for envy they crucified him. There was something interesting about Pharaoh. We're going to try to look at this and move on. Try to move on to something else. Verse 16, he says,
7:16.
He said, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And he begins to talk about the plagues. And look down to verse 22. The plague is a sign, same as the voice of the Lord. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he what? Hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. In other words, you know, he's seeing the sign and he's not listening. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Now, this is a principle. Even though it's a miracle, it's still a voice. All right.
And he's refusing to hear it.
As a matter of fact, just to look at verse
9.
Verse, let's start at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause I have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and thou shalt not be brought home. And I'm sorry. Let me start over verse 19. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that
feared
what?
The word of the Lord.
What's the word of the Lord?
The sign,
right. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. And he that what?
Regarded not the Lord.
Left servants and his cattle in the field. So what is the deciding factor?
You believe God or you don't.
You believe God or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't believe this, if you don't believe the Lord, you don't believe the what?
The
word or the sign, right? Okay, look down at verse 33. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord. And the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured up upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he what?
Sinned yet more,
and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So he's what's making his heart hard? Some belief. Let me tell you something. We come here, we read all the time, we look in this book, and we don't know. You know, a guy said this in Thursday's class. He said, the Lord won't show you any more if you're not willing to do anything with what he's already showed you. Why would he show you more light when you're not doing anything with the light that you have? Israel were entrusted with the word of God, the scribes and the Pharisees. They corrupted it with tradition. By the time the Lord comes, he's got to set the whole thing straight again. That's what he does in Matthew. He's got to come. He says, look at Matthew chapter 5. You didn't tell me my wires were coming out.
That's
on camera too.
I kind of heard you misspeak.
Okay.
I thought I did.
I'm sure you did. What did I say?
You didn't tell me my wives were coming out.
Wires. The wires. She's just like wives, though. I mean, she's got a different personality. I love them all.
Good recovery.
You like that? Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Look at verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Look at verse 31. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Let me ask you something. Is that true today?
That
what he just laid down. You know, it is red letters in my book.
Yeah, but it's not for us for today.
That's right, right division. Paul says, remember what Paul says? You cannot, you can't put her away. But she can leave if she wants to. I'm just picking with her. Verse, well, you know what? I'll just use that example because the Pharisees were there, and what they had done was found loopholes in all the law. So they can talk to you and tell you what to do, but they were above the law. That's why when the Lord comes, he says, I want to get you, leaders, I want to get you down and sinful just like the people you got under your thumb.
And that's why they hated
him. And that's why they hated him. And couple that with Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what?
The gospel.
And doing what?
Healing.
Doing what?
Healing.
Healing what?
All manner of sickness and manner of disease.
Among
the people.
And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought, remember we were talking about Syria Sunday, Ron? And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. All these are what?
Signs.
And so that's like what Michael was asking. That should be proof that, hey, this is the Messiah. This is the guy we're with. But instead,
right,
what they saw is he was taking away their power.
Drawing away the people.
Because the people were believing. They're saying, whoa, look at this. You know,
right.
The leaders hated.
You get Isaiah 35 and John chapter, I believe it's chapter 5.
Isaiah, what chapter?
35.
John was what?
John, yeah, John 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You got Isaiah 35?
Just before you mine. Yeah. Isaiah 35.
All right. 35. Verse. We just say verse 4. Verse 4. 35:4. We won't. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Who's he talking to?
The Jews.
This is what? Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
He's telling the Jews that, behold, who's coming?
God.
Your God. And when he comes, he's going to save you, right?
That's 700 years before Christ.
So if I'm a Jew, just say I'm a Jew and I have Isaiah, right? Mm-hmm. So when I see a guy shows up and he begins to do this, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then, when? When is then?
When God comes.
When God comes. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. So, if I'm a Jew, and I'm looking for a God, and he shows up, I'll find the guy who's doing what?
Doing miracles.
Or doing what? Healing. Which we said they were what? Signs.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the signs, right?
Right.
All right. Look at, what did I say? Matthew. Oh, I said John, didn't I?
John.
Chapter 538. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search Isaiah.
So,
search what?
The
search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which what?
Testify of me. So this is the Lord speaking.
This is the Lord speaking to the Jews. He said, you think you have eternal life in the scripture. He said, search them. They are they that testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
He's talking to religious leaders.
Right. If you got, stop me anytime if you got a question, because we just trying to piece some verses.
If they would have accepted them, then what?
The Bible would be different.
It'd be a shorter book.
But he was offering them the kingdom, so the kingdom would have been set up.
Right. Right. There's a lot. We're jumping in midstream. There's a lot of background. That's one thing about scripture that you'll find is, my wife reads a lot of books. If you picked up a book and turned to the middle of the book and read a paragraph out of that book, and then I said, tell me what that book's about, she couldn't do it.
Of course not.
But why do we jump into scripture and we take out a chapter in a book and we read it and then we think we got it? When God writes this book, he's assuming that he picked you up in Genesis and you walked with him up to Matthew. That's why when you get over here and even with Paul, when Paul would say the Jews require a sign, you won't have to wonder why they require a sign, because they started off way back here as a sign believing people. So as long as the Lord is dealing with, he told the Jews, he says, when they finally go through, he's doing all these signs and wonders and miracles in Jerusalem, and all the fame is going abroad, and then they still came up to him and says, show me one more. And he said, there will not be given you another sign except this. He said, the sign of the prophet Jonah, right? He says, as the Son of Man was, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. When he resurrected, they still didn't believe him.
In fact, they thought somebody had stolen the body.
That's what they paid them to say that. Right. And that's, matter of fact, Matthew, he says, the body of Jesus.
That's what I thought you were talking about, but I didn't know that they were paid to say that.
Yeah. They were paid, the leaders paid them to say that his disciples came by night and stole the body away. And this, as a matter of fact, it says at that time, and it said, and that's commonly reported to this day, or whatever day that was when they said to this day. But that was the last sign that he gave them, that generation. But John chapter, we're in chapter 5, right?
Yeah.
Look at chapter 6. How about 6:37? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is.
I must be in the wrong chapter. Yep.
What's that? Chapter, what did I say?
Six.
I'm sorry, chapter 7. It is. You knew that? 7. I was still wrong. I meant 7:27, but we might as well read 7:25 since we got that far. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is this not he whom they seek to kill? Talking about Jesus. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people, what? Believed on him, and said, when Christ cometh, he will do more miracles than these, which this man, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done? The people knew it.
Yeah.
They look and they see these miracles. They says,
who else is going to do miracles?
Yeah. Can you beat this man?
Yeah.
You can't beat this man. He's doing everything that the prophets said he would do. Here's why they didn't believe him. 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief officers. And the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? Drop down to verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees and said unto him, why have ye not brought him? And the officer said, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived?
Everybody's believing but the Pharisees.
Everybody but the leaders. Listen to this, the next verse. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? That's it. That's it right there. Let's jump over for a minute. You know what they say today? We talk about the gospel of the grace of God, Paul's distinct message. And they say, had any of the doctors believed that message? Where'd you get that from? You don't hear T.D. Jakes talking about that. You don't hear Joel Osteen talking about the revelation of the mystery. You don't hear Billy Graham talking about that. You don't hear it. Yeah. Have any of the big guys talked about this? But if we search the scriptures, what?
It's there.
It's right there. And the evidence is there, because what we try to do now is we try to take the signs, don't we? We try to do it today. The church, they try to take the signs. They try to produce the signs.
Yeah.
And what happens? We make excuses after excuse of why it's not working.
Right.
Well, you don't have enough faith, or there's sin in your life, or Lord, he's not ready for you to do that yet, or he's chosen not to heal you for whatever reason.
It's already happened down in South America,
right? Or wherever, right? Somewhere. And I always say this: if God's healing. And I mean this too. I'm not saying this I hope it didn't come across that way in an egotistical way. But I feel like if God's healing, then he would heal my grandmother. If he would heal anybody, he would heal some of my folk. You know, like, I believe the message. I believe the right message. So I'm like, I'm on the Lord's side. And I believe if anything, you know, Lord, if you healing that, you would come to me, to my aid. You don't think like that?
I used to think that way.
Well, I mean, I know he's not.
Right. But if he was,
yeah.
You know, I would say, I know I'm in the short line. I feel like that.
Your grandma is for sure.
Right. I like that. Yeah. Look, they were in Jerusalem, and this woman was a Gentile, and she saw what he was doing, and she just went up to him and just touched him. And he said, who touched me? And they walked with him and says, Master, you see the crowd? Everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched you? He says, no. Somebody touched me because I felt virtue come out. Now, if she believed that and the signs were working, why couldn't I expect God to do something for me if the signs were working?
I could if
they were working.
They ain't working.
But they're not working.
Well, what about, I'm going to get this wrong, but what about Jesus talking about people that were going to come and do signs and miracles in his name? But what I'm getting at, he's already saying that. He's doing these things, and
right.
He's going, why don't you see who I am? But he turns right around and says, other people are going to do it. So, why aren't they looking at the other people that's going to do it instead of looking at him? That makes sense. I just
Why didn't they go to other people to...
Well, I mean, he's saying that's what's going to happen. You know, other people would, you know, heal or whatever they're doing. Yet, you could see people going, wait a minute, you did it. Well, they did it too. What makes you different, I guess?
But, you know, what you're saying, Frank, is the masses could see it.
Right.
The educated and the smart ones couldn't see it.
Oh, they saw it.
But he talked in riddles, and the more simple-minded understood the riddles than the... Because if they really, really saw it, they should have fell to their knees instantly.
But Frank, there's no riddle about a miracle.
Right, right.
Well, he spoke.
Hold your hand there. Look at Acts. Look at Acts.
Parables.
Parables. Look at Acts chapter...
I understand some of these parables that he was in. If I would have been there...
Look at Acts chapter 4.
Acts chapter 4.
Right.
If I hadn't walked for 40 years and he healed me, I really wouldn't care whether I understood his parables.
That's right, exactly. You're right.
I'm sorry, Acts chapter 4.
Now, this is kind of piggyback what Ron said. When he was with his disciples, he told them, he commissioned them to go out and do the same thing that he was doing.
Right.
Because they were preaching the same gospel. Mm-hmm. And they were, the same signs would follow those people. Because they were trying to impress the gospel upon the same unbelieving people.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Acts chapter 4. So after the resurrection, he empowers them to do that very thing, to go out and preach the gospel. Right?
Followed by signs and miracles.
Right. You know what? Well, before we take 5, look back at verse 2.
Uh-oh.
What?
I've been to one of those places.
You've been where? Oh, well, you got it marked?
Pentecostal church.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About snakes.
But for the real Pentecostal church, you'd have to go back in time.
Yeah.
Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by
miracles, wonders, and signs,
which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also what?
No.
He says, you saw it. You knew it. A man approved of God. Dokimos. He, you know what? He'd been tested. He'd been proved. He'd been verified to be who he said he was. And you saw it. And they couldn't say, you know what? I never saw a miracle. I don't know what he's talking about. He says, no, you saw it. You saw a lot of them. He did.
Yeah.
Look at verse. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Now look at chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 4. I'm sorry,
it's on the same page.
Verse 12. Start there. Okay. Verse 9.
Yeah.
All right. 7. That's it.
Chapter 3.
And when they... No, that's it. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. They just did a miracle. They just did a sign. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were ignorant, they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could
say nothing
against it.
Instead of celebrating, they really didn't like it, but they could say nothing against it because he was healed.
I mean, you can, if you put yourself back there, and you can just see it. You can see him fuming with anger.
The apostles had healed, so the leaders brought the apostles in to talk to them, and that's what's going on here. They're questioning and saying, "You know, how
did this happen?" Right. So, and they see the man. And they said, he was lame, but now he's standing there. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, here's the Holy Spirit working. Now look, they had commanded them to go aside out of the council. They conferred among themselves, saying, guess who was in the huddle? The Holy Ghost. How else would we know what they said?
Good point.
What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a
notable
miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Back to Pharaoh. What's making these men hard? They're seeing the voice of the sign. They're seeing it. And they are hardening their heart.
They're denying the truth.
They're denying this. You know what? What's notable is, you know, they say, you know what? The God is still healing. He's still doing this. Let's just go off our people. That would be notable enough for me if I could go over and see my grandmother walking like a regular person. That would be notable for me. But let's say, give me Stevie Wonder. Or he's dead. But Christopher Reeve.
He's dead too.
He's dead. Yeah, I mean, I say he's dead, but well, raise him up. Yeah. Hawking. Stephen Hawking. Give me a note. You want me to believe? Give me a notable miracle. All that dwell in Jerusalem knew this. That give me one that all that dwell in Memphis would see this. Or all that dwell in the North American region would see this. That's notable. Isn't that notable?
Yeah.
How can we never hear that?
Because it doesn't happen anymore.
Because it doesn't happen anymore.
You mean when they push them down that don't do nothing?
It just push them on the ground. That's it.
I was hoping to do that.
And you know what? You never, like Ed said, you never can find them. You never find them. It's like you go back and do you know, I want to see, I want to meet that brother, and I want to, you know, I want to praise the Lord with him, to thank him for the miracle that took place, and you never get the follow up. You don't know where they are.
Well, and among those hard to believe Jews, they healed them all. Here they can't heal anybody, and this is because we don't believe them.
Right. Right. And the truth is, because God is not dealing with Israel as a nation today, he doesn't need the signs anymore. Because he's no longer trying to convince an unbelieving people to come to him. He concluded all of us in unbelief now. So now he's offering it to everyone equally. He doesn't have a certain people that he's trying to offer a kingdom to now.
But instead of signs, it's unseen.
It's unseen. So you know what? Look, we'll end up. I don't know if that answered your questions, but it probably gave something to chew on. But look at First Corinthians. Chapter 1, then chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18.
Chapter 1, verse 18.
He says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." For you know what they would know what the power of God was back here? It was in the miracles. It was in the plagues that he put on Israel, on Egypt. And they saw that, and that's what Joshua and Moses would always appeal to. They would say, "You see what I did? You see what I did to the Egyptians?" But over here, he doesn't appeal to us like that. He can say, "You see what I did at the cross?" He says, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So we see that we don't preach signs and miracles today. We preach the cross. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's really nothing different today. You know what? If you go to anybody, most people will say that this is human. You know, they'll put a human viewpoint on it. Like, you believe that? Man wrote that book. Oh, there's no way that Jesus Christ is a real figure. You know, they equate it to like Santa Claus or Easter Bunny or some fictional character. But they haven't checked it out enough to verify whether it's true or not.
But in their human wisdom, they don't believe it's true.
Right.
Well, when you got people like Oprah Winfrey has following her, and she starts talking about the universe, I mean, you know, I know she had to be raised on the Bible and believed in the Bible at one time.
Well, we talked about it last week. What gets you away from the scripture is this: education. Because you know what? You go
and you believe that from you did it.
You or somebody else can do it, or you can do it. You go from Bible believing households or whatever. You go to school. They educate you out of it. You go to college, they educate you out of it. If you go to a seminar, they educate you out of it. Where is the wise? The wisdom. The wisdom of this world teaches you to deny this.
Or the Jews, they want a church where they can have excitement.
the Jews?
Yeah, the today's people that are like the Jews who require...
Oh, a sign, right, right.
They want signs.
Exactly.
There are people today that want signs.
It doesn't require any faith to do this, to follow a sign, not much, because you see it. You see it. Seeing is what?
Believe.
But that's not always the case, is it?
Never always the case.
That's why Paul said this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And this is actually a verse kind of out of context, but I'm going to use it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And he says, for we walk by
faith,
verse 7, not by sight. It takes, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word of God.
You just don't have blind faith where I believe that the Lord's going to do this. You have to have some information that he's given you that you can put your faith in. That's, I can do this because the Lord said that I can do this. Or, this is going to happen because the Lord said it will happen. Right?
Yeah.
Now, we're going to finish out with 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
First Corinthians or
second? 1 Corinthians 13.
That's, I said, if you have anybody with an intellectual mind would not believe in Jesus.
Not many.
He doesn't have one then.
Not many. Now there are some scientists who believe, and some intellectuals who believe. But he didn't say not any. He just said not many.
Yeah, I think it's whether you, the motivator, is whether you believe you're a sinner, whether you believe you need help, you know, that you've got a problem there, because that's the opposite of the Jews. They believe they were perfect, and here's Jesus Christ coming to take everything away from them, you know.
Right.
So they didn't want to believe it. But, I mean, I fought it too, Ron. I intellectually fought the idea myself when it was first presented to me. But I did have a motivation. I was pretty sure I was going to hell. So he could show me a way that
helped,
I could.
That helped you to study, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that helped me to study.
You know, and that's you don't have to be a base person to realize that you need help.
Right.
Because Paul said he was the worst. Well, that's a. That's not. He didn't mean chief in the sense that he was the worst sinner. But that's for another discussion. But he did say that he was an injurious, a blasphemer, a persecutor. So he did do some bad things. But as far as other people would be concerned, he was very moral. He was very religious. He wasn't of the baser sort of men. But that's what sin will do. It'll either make you base or it'll make you self-righteous. But you still, at some point, you have to realize that I'm so bad that I do need help. Or you have to realize that although I'm very, very good, I'm not as good as he is. So you still, who are you comparing yourself to? Either way, you end up needing help. Because, and we talked about this, is we, if there's a God, and there is, and he created human beings, a human race, and he did, and we are his offspring, as Paul said, we have to, we will be accountable to him. And it's not a story we made up. One day we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You won't just die and, you know, like a tree in the woods and that's it. One day you will get up and you will meet the God of all the earth. And then, you know what? It'll be very real.
Yes.
And he'll say, why didn't you believe?
But he ain't coming in this life, is he?
We don't know that. He may come before we make it home. But 1 Corinthians 13, he said,
we won't be in this life, would we?
You're right. Okay. That's true. 1 Corinthians 13, he said, and the Corinthians were hung up with signs and gifts. But he says in verse 8, he says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also, as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. We don't. I always say when you find a person looking for signs and miracles and wonders, it's just a baby. They're just babies. Because God has given us his guideline. He has given us his word to walk by. And if we keep up with him, we'll find out that he's no longer operating like that. Common sense would tell you that because you don't see it. You don't. There's nobody doing scripturally what he used to do scripturally. You wouldn't have to. If somebody says, I want to know where when John was in prison, he said, is he the one or should we look for another? They didn't say, well, let me go find out. Or he just, Jesus told him, go back and tell him what you see. He could have picked anybody to do that because it was on such a wide scale. Today, if we can say, is the Lord doing this or should we seek for someone else? Nobody can tell us, go back and tell Mike what you see over here. There's not a church that you hear about in the United States that's healing anybody every week. Nobody. Nowhere. Anywhere on this globe where you can hear it. You know how fast the news would be over there?
Right.
You'd be seeing this like the Conrad, Conrad Murray trial. It'd be on all the channels. You couldn't get rid of it. They healing in wherever. Many healed at. Yeah. It'd be.
And all of them got cameras, so it'd be your. On camera.
It would be your new reality show. You couldn't get enough of it.
In Corinthians here, and now abundant faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. But faith is the most abundant, right?
It said, now abideth.
Abideth.
That, yeah, what remains.
Abideth.
Yeah, what faith. Remains.
But faith is, it's saying here that all through this book, faith is the most important thing. And on here it says charity is the most important
thing. Well, he's talking about something specific. What these group of people had been at odds with each other, so to speak.
Okay.
So he's trying to teach these believers how to get along with one another and not be puffed up and abuse one another.
Right. Okay.
And he says that that's what abides now. So we don't look for signs, Mike. They had the signs. God showed them the signs, and they rejected those signs all the way up until the point where he finally rejected them. He says, you don't want me. I've showed you over and over and over who I am and what I have to offer you, and you don't want it. He says, so I will turn away from you, and then I'll go to the Gentiles. And that's us. So the Jews now are just, they're out there. And he says, one day, you know what? One day I'll pick it up again with the Jews. He says, but right now I'm offering salvation to those who believe. And that's my only, no signs, no miracles, no wonder, just faith. You know what the miracle is now? The miracle is now is to take us, save us, give us all these spiritual blessings, and then work in us to do that that he finds worthy and well-pleasing. That's a miracle.
That's a big miracle.
If you don't think so, just sit down and examine yourself, and you don't find that, you know what? What I used to be like is not what I'm like now. And you see how much room we have for growth. You want to see a miracle? That's the miracle, is when he works in your life to transform us. Amen. That's a miracle, right? Let's pray, and then we'll... I'm over. I'm sorry. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Allah, we know that you could take a verse and minister to our hearts. We're praying that you would do that tonight, despite the words that have been said. Anything that I've said that might hinder it, we pray that the Holy Spirit would take that information, Lord, and cause us to meditate on them and bring forth fruit in our understanding and also in our walk. We thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity to speak on your behalf. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I got to tell you, the way I got involved in